terminology, and she found the environment ontology. And from there, she found me. And then we're working with Ramon, with somebody called Pia Buttigieg. I don't know if you know Pia.
Sure. Yeah.
And with various people in medical ontologies. And we've had two meetings, altogether 5 days at the UN in New York, trying to build the ontology framework for the UNEP. And the goal is that it will be expanded over time to be the ontology framework for the whole of the United Nations. So I'm quite pleased.
That's really interesting, yeah. Ready? Yeah, so Ramona's involved with that too. And
yeah, so she has been working quite closely with Pia. So when Pia joined, then Ramona came along. And it's actually been just the three of us. We've been at all the meetings so far and all the calls. The United Nations, as you can imagine, is very difficult to work with. So it's a funny environment. So what happens is that we go to New York, we sit down to do our ontology work. And then after a few hours, some group of politicians will come into the room to watch and ask questions and then we have to try and lobby them to believe in what we're doing. And finally, we got agreement from enough key figures to get an official approval for this project. And we will be publishing something quite soon also.
Huh, interesting. So this is mostly involved with like environment and climate change. Hi, Chris.
Things like flood hazards, poverty, fisheries, forestries. Although the developmental goals range over many, many areas, including things like legal services and urban planning and so forth, we are involved in the... Chris, it's a pity you just missed what I said. I was just describing what we've been doing with the UN.
Oh, I'd like to hear that, but yeah, sorry, I won't make you repeat yourself.
So I'll just repeat a little bit. So although the goals range over many, many things, including legal and what else, things like defecation in Indian cities. They have a big problem that people defecate in the street, which is very unhealthy.
Yeah.
And also various goals regarding education for women. So it's a very, very wide-ranging set of goals, but the people who are charged with the indicators, with defining the indicators, which is what we're supposed to help with in the first place, are environmental scientists. Sometimes they're environmental economists. Sometimes they're environmental statisticians. Sometimes they're environmental accountants. But environment is the central dimension along which the indicators will be defined in the first place, because it's the UN Environment Program which is in charge of monitoring the development and using these indicators. And so they're starting with the things they understand and then gradually working outward.
So you said they're going to be using the plant ontology?
Yes, so the stress ontology is the first thing that we're going to look at, because stress is one of the terms which is used in several of these goals. And they mean stress on different kinds of environments caused by different kinds of climate change, but also other kinds of change. So things like pollution caused by chemical factories or pollution caused by cities. So they want metrics to measure stress on things like forests. Now, whether we will be able to use any large percentage of the plant ontology depends upon how detailed the indicators have to be when we come to actually trying to find metrics that we can use to measure things. But certainly, the stress ontology is going to be directly relevant. Or I should say, some future improved version of the stress ontology.
Yeah, there currently isn't really a stress ontology yet.
I know, it's a lot of stress ontology. So.
Yeah, and it's kind of a proposal. It's something we might have time to talk about a little bit today.
How would that differ from the plant environmental conditions ontology?
So
largely stresses.
Yeah, I would think that
It's
going to overlap.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm not even sure that the term stress is ontologically coherent, which is why I keep stressing that we need to look at the stress ontology in light of what we need for the UN, and then see what is the best solution. So I'm all in favor of using existing ontologies, but what I've seen of stress on things called stress ontology at the moment, they're not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, so, I mean, we don't
Laurel, what's the difference between what the plant proposed plant stress ontology and what's currently the plant environmental conditions? Are they not the same thing?
Well, there is areas of overlap, but right now the name is sort of in flux. It's currently plant environment ontology, or in some places it's plant experimental conditions ontology, which is really more what it is. It encompasses some areas of plant stress, such as treatment with disease organisms.
Yeah, well, also stress is like growing in a salty, droughty environment.
Growing in a salty environment. And there's also overlaps with the trait ontology, because then you have, you know, different traits for these adaptation stresses and so on. So, but, you know, we can, I don't know if we can should get into this right now, but we have, you know, on the doc a plan to produce a stress ontology which would describe both abiotic and biotic stresses. And I, you know, we can see that there's points of intersection between the experimental conditions ontology and the trait ontology with this proposed stress ontology, but there really isn't one in existence yet.
It might get quite confusing to talk about this combination of existent and non-existent ontologies, especially when we don't have a proper name for what you're calling the environmental conditions ontology just now, because it was originally called the environment ontology, but there's a different environment ontology.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think both, if it's not too late, I would like to change the name of what you're calling EO to...
Yeah, I think changing it to experimental conditions ontology is a good thing, but there's people we have to convince.
So one thing we have to do is work out how the environment ontology, which is now pretty wide-ranging, should be imported into the plant environmental X ontology.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that might save us time.
And
but the environment ontology, as it now stands, is not dealing with stresses in any sense. It's not dealing with environmentally caused diseases or anything like that. So that is work that still needs to be
done. My understanding of ENVO is that it covers broader categories such as biomes and...
Yeah, and environmental material and habitats and so forth.
So there's definitely a lot of points of cross-reference there. So, yeah. So, well, maybe we should... Any more comments or questions about that? And these are all great topics, and this is a great time to be discussing it, because as we're, you know, planning to develop the plant stress ontology, these are all things we need to discuss.
So it would be good if we would actually focus on what we think should be done with A, environmental conditions, and B, those environmental conditions which might reasonably be called stressors. Both for plants and involving plants.
Right.
So agriculture is also part of the domain of the UN goals.
Okay.
And it plays, I've mentioned forests, but there are other ways, and fisheries. There are other ways in which agriculture fits in.
Hmm.
And you can see the goals. The goals have been published, and they've been ratified by every possible agency. And the World Health Organization, the Fisheries and Agriculture Organization, I think it's called, and the World Bank are all involved. So it's not just the UN. They are UN agencies in some sense, but it's not just the UN central organization. It's also these satellite organizations.
Good, good. Well.
So this is, if we can get something which is useful, this could be a big thing for the plant ontology effort, quite generally.
Great, great. Okay, well, I put together a little agenda. Let me just pull it up here so we can take a look at it. Elizabeth is not joining us today. She's on her way to Roma here. Very busy with travel. But it's great that Marie-Angelique can join us. And I haven't seen Pankaj, but he should be in shortly. Justin Elser is not around. He's buying a house today. big day for him. So here's our agenda. I think this is the right one. Not too many screens. Can you all see the screen now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Marie-Angelique, do you have any updates from your end? What's happening at Bioversity?
No, not really since last Thursday. I mean,
yeah, right, Leo, we're on the all hands call.
Yeah, Leo is still working on the thread dictionary. He's working on a new template. So now in the template, you want to introduce the notion of entity and attribute. So it will be easier at the end to manage the mapping with TOI.
Remind me again what the trait dictionary is and how that differs from the COs.
Yeah, so there is one trait dictionary per crop ontology, so per crop. So we have, we upload this trait dictionary in our system and then we propose to export it in OBO and in SCOS right now.
Oh, so the trait dictionary is the same content as each of the individual OBO files?
Yeah, more or less.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It's a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
So it's just a different form of essentially the same ontology or vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are using... Okay. Yeah, very simple OBO file and cost file, and yeah.
So it's a defined set of columns that your users fill in. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's in an Excel-based format. I think we looked at one in one of the previous calls, and maybe Chris wasn't there, but it's been helpful to talk about that. So you were talking about adding some extra columns?
Yeah. So that's the work of Leo, so he's currently working on that. So the extra colon are not fixed yet. So I don't know, I just know that there will be a colon for the entity and the attribute on which the threat are measured. But for example, for all the diseases, so resistant to, I don't know, a given disease, I mean that we cannot split it in entity and attribute because we were wondering what's the best way to do that.
You know, so that kind of ties in with what we might have time to talk about today about the disease ontology, because as we move forward with that, you could link it to terms from the disease ontology. And you know, if you have columns for entity and attribute, we probably wouldn't be able to put TO terms in there. That would probably be more like PO and PEDO terms.
Yeah, exactly.
Or GO and PEDO terms. So I think we had talked in the past a little bit about having a column for TO terms as well, and we had some discussion when Elizabeth was on the call. So
would it be possible for the Leo to send me his proposal, just a few lines with a picture?
Yeah, so that's if he could send it to all of us, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And so, Marie-Angelique, has there been any more discussion about putting the trait templates on the GitHub?
No, not really. We have not feedback yet for the name of the, you know, if we want to, the name of the different ontology. So the CGIAR stuff, yeah, prefix.
Right.
So we're still waiting for the answer. So
right.
Until this is settled, once this is settled, I will upload all the thread dictionary on the GitHub.
Yeah. I mean, we don't necessarily have to wait. We can change the name at any time, I think. But maybe we could move forward with getting the trait dictionaries at least for the four that are on GitHub. And that way it'd be easier to share them and look at them together. I don't know if that's a possibility. Do you know which species Leo is working with right now?
I think last week he finished cassava and kopi. But he's still waiting for the validation from the curator, the crop curator, to validate the file. So yeah. So once he gets some file validated, I can upload them on GitHub.
I mean, ideally, I think a better workflow would be to keep it on GitHub and revise it and have it there. I know it doesn't maybe fit into the workflow that you guys are used to, but this is something that we probably need to discuss as we move forward. I'm not sure if you're using some kind of, or if Leo's using some kind of a versioning system at his end, or if it just lives on his computer.
Yeah, he's using Dropbox, so we have different...
Pankaj, are you trying to say something? It's coming through like a a hamster. Your audio is not working. Where's the video? I can't see your face, though.
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah, there you are. Hello. Your audio is not working, Pankaj. Okay. You could come in and join me if you want. I don't know what the I'm not sure on the line. It's a little distracting. And now he's gone, but it's still there.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Okay. Are we still having an echo? Now, Barry, try muting your mic.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to mute on Zoom. Can you give me an instruction?
I can probably do it. Here, I'll mute it for you. And I'll mute Maria Angelique and see if that helps. I don't know. We still have the squirrels. All right. I don't think anyone here. That's... I don't know. Can we live with it? Maybe it'll go away. Maybe there's a squirrel out gnawing on the line outside. So, Maria Angelique, that sounds good. I had a couple of other notes from the last meeting. We had talked about uploading the trait dictionaries on the GitHub. And maybe it's a good time to talk about the question between you and Chris that you guys were talking about offline. And Chris, you had sent me a question that I replied to it this morning about.
Oh yeah, so I think it was the question as to whether we have one ID space for all the crop ontologies versus having one per crop ontology. And it could get quite difficult to manage if there is a lot of ID spaces. We have to decide whether we want to register each one of those individually with the OBO library, which we can do, but it's a bit more work. Or we could technically still use them and not have them be part of the OBO library. But when they get kind of exposed via the Plantium interface, then I think they should be registered at that point. But it may just be simpler just to have a single prefix, which is whatever the kind of like the name of that sub-organization is. And then you could have colon, and then you could have some kind of like scheme whereby it's some combination of the taxon ID plus the ID that is unique within that one particular ontology.
That's an idea. Although in some of them, there's more than one ontology per crop because, isn't that right, Maria Angelique? Because some have an anatomy ontology and traits in separate files.
Yeah, only banana.
Only banana?
Yeah, I think.
But I mean, it's the same principle, isn't it? You have a kind of number for the ontology, and then you have a number within the ontology. And so what I'm proposing is just kind of combine them together somehow, but without using the colon separator, and then just have a single ID space. But I don't know if that breaks stuff that you've got so far, or if that's an easy change for you.
I think it's an easy change for us. Okay. I'm not sure that anybody is using the OBO version of the ontologies, so...
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's easy.
So really the OBO version is just displayed on the website? Is that what you're saying? But no one's using it?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure, but yeah. Because most of our users are using the Excel files. Right. Or the API, so the JSON, RDF stuff.
Right.
Hmm.
So.
Oh, yeah, there is banana and wheat for the anatomy, okay.
Yeah. So remind me, the blue ones are the...
Are the ones that have been uploaded in OBO.
Okay, so they're actually being developed in OBO?
Yes.
Or they're converted to OBO?
Yeah. They have been developed in OBO.
And some of these, like Soybase and the Solanaceae, are guest?
Yes.
Yeah.
They are. Mm.
Okay, so it sounds like we should just go with a single ID space for that then. I don't know what that should be, but it seems... Do we have a central place where we can just... We have a list of all the ontologies in the Plantium project because...
Well...
Or just a kind of proposed list as a text document or in Google Docs or something.
We can create one.
Mm-hmm.
We can create one on the wiki.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea. Right now, we don't really have it. I mean, except for kind of in the, you know, the goals and so on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me look on this main... No, we can definitely, I can definitely create a page on here. It's a good idea. Mm.
So, Marie-Angela, like, you could still distribute the ontologies as separate files. It's trivial for us to combine them if we need to. But just the idea is that they all share the same ID space.
Okay.
So what you're thinking, Chris, just to summarize, is a prefix.
Yep.
Something like, and maybe this is good for them to think about when they're thinking about the names of the files. Yeah. Or the names of the repositories for GitHub would be similar, whether it's IBP or CO or IAR.
I'd go with something longer than just CO because I tend to discourage just two-letter kind of ID spaces.
Right.
You know, it can be ambiguous.
So yeah, maybe something like CO and IBP.
CO IBP.
Yeah. It's not very catchy, but yeah, we don't have to decide just now.
Right, right. And then you said, then there would be a colon, and then you mentioned maybe having a taxonomy ID?
Or whatever the unique ID is right now for the ontology.
Right. So maybe you can speak to that.
Oh yeah, we have ID for each crop that we have. So those ID have been decided by IBP or the breeding management system. So yeah, so those are IDs that have been defined not by us but by our community, let's say.
Right.
So when someone sees the crop number 334, they know that it's cassava. So all the databases in the different centers are using this ID for cassava.
So this is what they look like right now. It's CO underscore 334.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you just think about what the maximum number is for that, and I would suggest zero padding it.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if your actual unique IDs for the terms within the ontology are zero padded already, but I think that just keeps it kind of saner if it...
Yeah, we're using the zero padding stuff, I think.
Yeah. Can you see it on the screen, Chris?
Yeah.
I've got the term here.
All right, yeah.
And it's four zeros and then 103. So are you thinking that the 334 would go in the place of the first three zeros?
No, it would go before, immediately before them, yes. Not in place of them. because you want to retain that space just in case you end up having 10 million terms or whatever. I don't know. It's the...
Chris, I was wondering, maybe we should also introduce the namespace for the taxon.
Introduce the namespace for the taxon.
That this particular term is from Cassava, although ID tells a lot. But
I know, we would never assume that too much from the ID. I mean, in the eventual way it will work within Plantium.owl, there will be something at the root of the ontology that says only in taxon banana or whatever. And then that would be kind of inherited by all the child terms.
Mm-hmm. So what I was wondering is, for the time being, how do we handle the, can we assign a namespace within that particular crop and
top? Yeah, I guess when doing the conversion to OBO, you could just create the OBO namespace. And we should be careful when talking about namespace, because it means different things to different people. But I think you're using the OBO namespace.
It means, so what we are trying to say here, Murray, is that in your OBO formatted files, there is a place for namespace of that ontology or class. And then what you define is you can put in that of interest to, let's say, Cassava or something like that. So that although your ID tells a lot, but outside users don't know anything about that ID. Right, so then you can merge probably all the different kinds of ontologies under one single root, right, Chris?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So every time a Cassava person comes, then he edits only under the Cassava namespace.
Right.
Well, you're talking about editing now. I think the editing will always. My understanding is the editing would always be
individual.
Would be the tab separated values that people could edit in Excel,
okay,
CSV file, and then the conversion to OBO would be automatic. At least in the near term, that was my understanding.
We should be able to do that.
There's a couple of them that are in OBO format, but the majority of
right. But it's a conversion too. So I think we need to have some documentation that just shows what the pipeline is, what the source files are, and what the derived files are, because I think, Mary Angelique, all of your OBO files are all derived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not all of them, but most of them. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so there's somewhere you might want to start editing the source as an ontology rather than a TSV.
Like and this maze file is an OBO file, right? But it also has the trait template as well, right?
Yeah, we have also the thread template, yeah.
So how are they kept in sync?
I mean, Leo, when there is a new version that have been validated, just upload everything on the website.
So Chris, are you also thinking about running a kind of a term genie portal for the crop ontology?
Well, that's what we proposed, yeah. I don't know right now how that would fit in with all these different species specific ones, but I would imagine that our term genie instances would just focus on stuff that's in the kind of core Plantium to begin with, like the TO, the EO, and so on.
So reference ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I was thinking is that if somebody is editing on these crop ontologies, then instead of managing it through the Excel or CSV files, is it possible? They already have some kind of a tool. Can we mimic that tool and translate it into a term genie interface and say this is how you would create it?
It seems either if the source for the file is Excel or TSV, then no, that's the source of the file, and you've got to edit it using the appropriate tools. If the source of the file is an ontology format, then we can use whatever standard ontology tooling, including term genie, to add terms to that source.
I think it may be a bit much to try to bring it to this point.
One step at a time, I think.
Fundamental things to sort out here, I think. And you know what I would propose is maybe picking one or two of these, maybe the ones like wheat and maize, and using them kind of as a test case
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing if this new number space or namespace would work better, then we could kind of, you know, it's hard to kind of visualize how it would work in your workflow without testing it, probably.
Laurel, I'm going to have to leave the call now, I'm afraid. So.
Okay, Barry, thanks for your input, and we'll be in touch more.
Very good.
Later. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, you know, it might, I know Leo's probably busy with other things, but it might be helpful to have him join the call next time.
Okay, I will ask him.
Yeah, I don't know, like what his duties are and so on, but it seems like a lot of this is kind of, he's working on, and, you know, we're asking you, and...
yeah, but yeah. It's because he's...
Yeah.
Yes, different project, so.
Yeah. We all have lots of things going on. And, you know, one of the things that I see in the trade ontologies that having kind of a common namespace might help is there's a lot of overlap and commonalities between them in terms of, you know, like the upper level. I think there was some work trying to unify the upper level traits in all of them. After our meeting out there in March.
Yeah.
And so some of these upper level traits maybe there could be a general number space for kind of the terms that are common between all the ontologies so that you don't have five things called agronomical trait.
Well, that would be the job of the reference trait ontology, no?
Well, yes, that would be, although... These, like the agronomical is actually not even a word,
yeah.
But so maybe this is not the best example, but we had that, there's a different discussion here about, so let's look at a different one, like the morphological traits. Yes. So those could, you're right, Chris, those could be referred to using the TO term for agronomic or morphological, morphological or anatomical traits. But I'm a little concerned about having, you know, in this scheme that we were just discussing, having 20 different terms with different numbers saying like morphological traits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So something to think about. So maybe that's a good point. Those upper level terms could be referencing the TO term.
Well, they could eventually just use the ID directly, but I don't know if that will cause problems within your system, Marie Angelique.
I mean, I think if we are using the same ID in different ontology, the website broke at some point. Yeah. So that's just why we didn't do that so far. But yeah, definitely we should use the same ID for all this thread because yeah, they are the same. I mean, agronomical traits is the same has the same meaning in every ontology.
The problem with, I mean, the whole question of the agronomic traits is really a big item of discussion because it's not defined the same by many, and you can see the things that are under agronomic trait, like pod size.
Yeah.
We had this discussion last year at the CO meeting in Montpellier, and I advocated for not using this agronomic trait because I think it's very poorly defined, and in these ontologies it's not defined. You can see there's no definition, and the curators put whatever they want under it because everything is an agronomic trait.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just kind of not worry about discussing that right at the moment, but things like morphological traits, that's pretty straightforward.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
I think in the Plantium, the emphasis is not on building these ontologies. The users of crop ontologies are more focused on actually getting a term that they can use for annotating their objects. It's not the building of ontologies. Obviously, this is not an ontology. It's just a vocabulary of control vocabulary that the IBP platform or something can use, irrespective of the hierarchy of how they are arranged. So I don't think we should invest on building these ontologies as long as the trade dictionaries are enriched and they have a cross-reference to the reference trade ontologies. That is where the strength is. If somebody wants to do reasoning, they come to the reference ontology. If somebody wants to do the annotation, they do it using the CO, but it could be a flat trade dictionary or a trade glossary of terms, irrespective of the hierarchy. I don't think we should invest time on building a robust OBO structure for those CO ontologies. And that's why, because if the way we would, even though like what we are doing is individually species and then trying to convert it into OBO for our simplicity purposes, I think it's repurposing, but we should not advertise it as an ontology kind of things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, when you say we...
Means the crop ontology and the Plantium project should not advertise it saying that we are building crop ontology. We are building trait dictionaries that are flat, irrespective of their hierarchy, how they are classified, whether it is agronomic or morphological or anything. That relationship should be driven by, as Chris just mentioned, by the reference trait ontology, and not by the individual crop species ontologies. Because
so this kind of brings up a question about what our goal is with these. Are we going to show these on the Plantium browser? There've been some discussion about whether these will actually be leaves on the TO tree.
What the users are interested in looking at is show me all the mutants or all the germplasm accessions that are associated with a certain trait, right? They may or may not be very interested in looking at the hierarchy of this vocabulary tree from perspective.
Right.
On the second side, the users are more interested in using the APIs or something that, for example, IBP can use these terms in for letting its users to use for integration in their annotation workflow. But that doesn't mean that they are very interested in looking at the actual tree that you were showing, right?
But they might still be interested in, say, just querying for all fruit size traits.
Yeah.
So they may not be interested in browsing the hierarchy, but to answer that question, you should have everything under the hood kind of organized in the hierarchy, and that can be done automatically using reasoning once we attach logical definitions to these CO terms.
Yeah. So and I think this hierarchy can be created using the reasoner rather than somebody sitting there and building it. Effort should be on making sure that trait dictionary has all the terms that the user community needs, and every term has a correspondence to the reference trait ontology. And we should be able to recreate that.
So you're saying they shouldn't have any upper level organization at all?
No, they don't need to create it in their ontology. I think their flat vocabulary is absolutely fine.
Any comment, Marie-Angelique?
I mean, the dictionary, we have the upper class that is defined by the user. So if they want to say this trait is a morphological trait, they can add this information. They have to add the information in the template. So it just...
So once again, the question, Marie-Angelique, is that it's based on their understanding how they are evaluating. But if somebody is doing comparative, for example, pod size, even though it is in some ways it is morphological for an anatomist, for somebody who is looking from a marketing and the consumer product perspective, the pod size is the commercial product or commercial trait, and that is an agronomic trait for that person. Right,
yeah.
He may not come from a morphological, he will come from this thing. So you would have to build a second relationship in it. Whereas the current version of these hierarchies are actually flat, one single parent, if I understand it correctly, right?
Yeah, but I think the idea at the end will be to have every term logically defined so you can infer which parents it have.
So if you, for example, have pod size and has an equivalent to fruit size in reference to the reference state ontology, and reference state ontology says that fruit size can be both a morphological trait and can be agronomical trait or a yield trait, then that reference, that upper level of the tree can be created using some automatic approach rather than user defining it.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that, but just I think the mapping will be more, I don't know, more strong if we are using the formal definition to map the crop ontology term to the PO, to the TO term.
Yep, I think we're all in agreement here, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
what I'm hearing then is that we want to keep the upper level categories for the users on your end, Marie-Angelique, but perhaps when we import these, we could just import them as a flat file.
Okay.
I don't know if that's...
Do you have data attached to the upper level terms, or is all your data attached to your leaves?
I don't have any data attached. Do you?
Yeah, each term is attached to the upper.
No, there's no data though.
I don't know, no data. This is about the data. Sorry, no data.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's only the leaf term, and it's not really the. Yeah, because our user are using the threads along with the method and the scale to annotate the data. They're not using just the threads, because yeah, the method is very important when you want to compare to data. So yeah,
right.
And to data, even if they are measuring the same thing, they are maybe not comparable because the method is different. So yeah. So it's a combination.
I think that's fine, actually. That actually is a good solution.
Can you see something?
No.
I'm drawing up here. No?
What? You're not sharing your screen, Pankaj.
Yeah.
Can I share my... how do I get that?
You want me to stop sharing? Right now, everyone's seeing my screen, I believe.
Yeah.
Can I get remote control? Request remote control.
Just changing that.
There might be something coming to you.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, just give me the remote control.
Yeah, you should have it now.
Okay. Let's say what I'm trying to say is that in your hierarchy is this term of G.
I'm not seeing it though. Are you sharing your screen?
Okay. If I share my screen, then it will be something would be gone. Just a sec. I can't even share my screen now.
You took remote control, so
I cannot share the screen because somebody else is sharing it. But anyhow, what I will try to do is I'll you continue with your finer level mappings to the individual that you would see, individual terms that you are seeing in these vocabularies and ontologies. That's the farthest from the root, right? The mapping is to that, and I will try to see if I can draw something and share it with you guys to see if we can recreate the hierarchy based on the mappings and the reference state ontology. Does that make sense, Chris?
So now I don't seem to be able to share my screen. Can you guys still see my screen, the crop curation tool with the wheat technology on it?
Yes.
Oh, you can still see that. Okay. I think this Zoom is kind of confused because we're both logged in on the same name, Pankaj.
Oh, you can take back the remote control.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do anything. I can't even get to the controls of the... Anyway. Okay, well, let's proceed. So these are all good discussions, and I think that idea of just creating the logical definitions for all these terms, and then when we import them into the plantium, just, you know, not import the upper level categories, and your users can use whatever upper level categories you need. They're different in the different ontologies, it looks like, some of them anyway. So, but that might actually solve some problems. So, Marie Angelique, have you been working on creating any mappings or creating any cross products yet?
No, not yet. But yeah, I started to look at a tool named AML, Agreement MakerLite, for helping me in the mapping, so I can load the plant ontology and or crop ontology, and I'm looking for the entity.
Maybe
so what's it called? EML or AML?
AML, yeah.
Maybe after the call you can put that on the wiki for us.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I started to look at this tool, but I have to make some settings so the result can be better. So I didn't build any cross product because I'm not very comfortable with the OBO structure. I would prefer to make the product directly in all if it's possible.
I don't know.
Yep. Okay, great. Yeah. So yeah, I'm more comfortable with that. So yeah, I'm trying to do that with the wheat ontology. So yeah, as soon as I have some results to share, I can share it with you.
What is the name of the tool?
Yeah, AML, that was correct. So it's just Agreement Maker. Agreement Maker, yeah, Maker.
Light.
Yeah.
MAL.
Yeah, MAL. Yeah, and this is a GitHub project. Yeah, exactly.
And you can import them as OWL files?
Yeah, OWL files and OBO files. And you can have the mapping only on the terms or the word or the structure. So you can choose which mapping tools you want to, or mapping algorithm you want to use.
My computer is locked up here. I have the spinning ball. Anyway. And Marie Angelique, if you need, maybe we could talk again later this week, and if you need access to any of the OWL files, those are all available for all the ontologies. So.
Okay.
You prefer to work in OWL, so it doesn't really matter.
Ooh. Can I share my screen now? I think I have something. I just
put it together. We can try. For some reason, I don't seem to have access to the controls. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I need to stop sharing, yeah.
Give up remote control. You should have it now.
I'm not sure why I don't seem to be able to find the controls. I think it's maybe because we're both logged in on the same login.
No. I had the remote access control. Now you should be able to see. No?
I can't see anything. Can you, Chris or Marie Angelique?
I can see your screen.
You can see my screen still.
Okay, I'll see if I can.
Oh, there, we can see it that way.
That's better.
Yeah, but it's,
that's what maybe.
I'll try to see if I can. Technology.
Okay.
Okay. What here I'm trying to show here is on the right hand side is, let's say, on your right hand side, what you would see is your trade ontology. Okay.
The left hand.
It's with a hierarchy, let's say. And if this is the CO, in the middle is your CO, which is in the current reference format. Either some of them have a hierarchy, some of them are just plain unknown entities or unbundled or without any hierarchy, right? Plain dictionaries could be there. If this term, for example, has an equivalence here in the trade ontology, what I was thinking is that either way it comes, the CEO term comes from hierarchy or non-hierarchy, we should be able to create a CEO projected hierarchy based on the equivalence that we find and recreate that version for you from that perspective. All you needed is to provide us, let's say, this term equals to this term, and then we create this term for you.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Chris?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Then you don't have to worry about how you define the top level terms.
Yeah.
Because those are already created in the trade ontology.
Yeah.
In any multiple ways.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's possible that you may just don't even need this hierarchy as long as you create the CO version 2, which is just plain dictionaries of all the terminologies that you have, and have one, every term has an equivalence here, then we should be able to recreate it for you.
Yeah, but I don't want to do the mapping, the equivalence between TO and CO manually. I prefer to do it.
Either way, you do it manually or automatic, irrespective, you would create a mapping file anyhow. And yeah, that is the mapping file which our tool should use to recreate a projected CO hierarchy for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think there's any requirement to do it manually.
Yeah.
Maybe you have some manual checking, but
yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, our goal is to have it fully automated, but it may not be very convenient in the very beginning. You might have to do some manual editing on it. So beginning, it will be a semi-automatic leading towards fully automatic version of it.
Yeah.
And I believe if we are able to do this projection, then and if the users find that their one of the top level terms is a missing is not a desired relationship or a missing one, then that should be fixed in the reference ontology.
Yes, so that'll be a good way to kind of help improve the reference ontology as well.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. And so, Marie Angelique, you were saying that you're working maybe with the wheat one to start?
Yeah. Because we have already some mappings with threat ontology, so that have been entered manually by Rosemary. So what I would like to do is just using this information to check if the approach with AML and it's consistent or not. So yeah,
kind of use the manual ones as sort of your gold standard, and then have your automated and test your automated system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, great. And we can definitely, you know, talk some more about that if you need input on my end. So you're using, it would have PO terms and PEDO terms?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're doing it like in the trait template file? Is that how you're doing it?
I'm doing it using, I do code. I'm Java code. Yeah.
But how is it stored in the ontology though? That's what I was
I mean, the... for now, it's, I will have some old files. So yeah, it will be directly stored in the old files. So yeah, but the files so far is not published anywhere. I just have it on my laptop, so yeah.
Yep, let's get it on GitHub.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, even if we mentioned this before, even if the name is
it's
not okay. Right, you could definitely put it up here.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we actually have anything. Oh, we have the OBO file, yeah.
So I can add the TVS file and, yeah.
Yeah.
The OBO file, okay.
And Marie-Angelique, if there's, you know, if you want to create other repositories here, you feel free.
Okay.
I'm really happy to have you kind of look after that. I've got enough things to worry about. And we can change the name of these however you want, and... We don't even necessarily have to call them traits. I mean, some of these may have anatomy files and so on in them, right? So feel free to modify this however you want. I just wanted to kind of get something up there and kind of, you know, get something going with it. Yeah, and Marie-Angelique, I had mentioned to you on the All Hands call, and I didn't get a chance to follow up with you since then, about maybe you and I should have another meeting once a week.
Yeah, sure.
To kind of keep, so maybe after the call we can talk about when that might be good to do, just to kind of keep, it's, Elizabeth is so busy that it's been really hard to kind of keep in touch with Elizabeth. Yeah, yeah. And so you're in Montpellier for a week and then...
I go back to Switzerland.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will be in Paris for the RDA meeting.
Oh, good. Right.
Yeah.
So on maybe the 29th and 30th?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the... And then do you go to the FAO meeting after that?
I still don't know.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, good. We'll have some chance to talk then, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well,
have to head off.
Yeah, I think we're kind of getting down to the end of the hour. I had some other things, but we can leave those till next time. I think we touched on most of this stuff. Okay, great. So our next regular ontology meeting is on June 9th. So, good. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. And Marie-Angelique, maybe we could just talk on Skype afterwards.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I'm going to end the call.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
If I can figure out how to do it. I think you might have to, Pankaj, because I don't seem to have the controls.
Okay. I just have to leave the meeting kind of things.
Yeah, that's fine. There we go.